You would turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. When believers receive Jesus Christ, we are reborn. We are born again. We die to our old self. If you remember your life, more so if you were an adult when you received Christ, if you remember your life prior to receiving Jesus Christ, your life may have been characterized by being selfish. We looked out for old number one, and we didn't really take much care for those around us. But there's something that happens when you receive Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside you, and you're born again to a life that reflects the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit works in your heart and the Spirit works in your life, He changes you and you begin to display the fruit of the Spirit. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And when it says it's a fruit of the Spirit, it is a product that is produced by the Holy Spirit as we yield control of Him to our lives. Because of salvation, we can and should love others. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. That's what Peter is talking about, inspired by the Spirit of God. So we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 25. If you would, let's stand in honor of God's Word as we read this. And he's still continuing this thought of the greatness of the gospel. Verse 22, he says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word never returns void. Help us to understand it this morning as we look at what Peter says this morning about loving others. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As I said, because of salvation, we can and we should love other people. And again, that there is a change that happens in the heart of a believer. Love is a matter of obedience. And Peter brings that out in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. We cannot truly love other people until we have experienced that rebirth, until we have experienced for our own selves the love of God. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God characterizes, or He personifies love. He is love. In every way, God teaches us what true love is. And we can't truly love others until we know Him, until we experience His love toward us in our own lives and in our own heart. You see, if you know God, you understand His love for you. And if you know God, you understand how He loves others. And if you know God, you understand how and why we need to love other people. He also mentions here, he says, since you have purified your souls, then the purification of the soul, that just refers to the conversion experience. When we receive Jesus Christ, our soul is purified. And it happens when we receive the gospel. And it's the work of God in an obedient and seeking heart. As we obey the truth of the gospel, we receive the gospel as it is presented to us by the Spirit of God. We must love other people as a matter of obedience. He uses the word fervently and tells us, he gives us two words here on how to love others. In sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently. This word fervently refers to, it was a word that would often be used to describe a furnace. And the heating up of that furnace till it got hot. And when it got hot, it was fervent. And that is the same way that we're to love. And here he mentions specifically the love one another. And he's referring to us loving each other in the family of God. It's so important that we love each other with a hotness or an intensity, because we're going to spend eternity with each other. We're going to be together for all eternity. And it's important that we don't wait till then to start loving each other and serving each other. We need to do it now with ferventness, with hotness or intensity, with great effort. But he also mentions the word, he says, from a pure heart. This word means to be free from sin or defilement. Bottom line, it means to be genuine. It means to be sincere. We need to love each other with sincerity, not putting on a show, not putting on a mask and acting like we love somebody, but truly love other people. You know, children in particular, I've said this many times, I think, but children can smell out a counterfeit a mile away. And if we're not genuine in our love for one another, if we're not genuine in our love towards them, if we're not genuine in our faith, they know it. They know it. And that's why it is so important that we, as God's people, be genuine, that we be sincere in everything that we do. But related to what we're talking about today, we need to be genuine and sincere in our love for one another. Love sometimes takes effort. And it's important to point out, love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not something you fall into. You fall in a cow pie. You don't fall in love. That's something that our society has painted and twisted to really twist the meaning of love. Love is a choice. Because how do I know that? Well, we're commanded to love. That means we have to choose whether to obey that commandment or disobey that commandment. We're commanded also to be joyful people. That joy is not a feeling or emotion. Joy is something we choose. We can choose to be joyful. But we can also choose to love. We can choose to love other people. And it takes effort sometimes. Whether it's in the marriage relationship, whether it's in just a general friendship in your family, or even an enemy. Love takes effort. It takes effort. You can't just tell somebody you love them. You need to demonstrate you love them. You need to serve them and meet their needs. The essence of love is meeting the needs of another person. Not some ushy-gushy feeling that we fall in and out of. And love should not be dependent on what the other person does or what you receive. It is an unconditional, perfect love is an unconditional choice to care for and meet the needs of another person. We're not hearing that from Hollywood. We're not hearing that from our society. But perfect love comes from God. God chose. He chose to love us even when we didn't love Him. He chose to love us. The word in the Bible is agape or agapao, or it's a variation of that. And that's a word that means unconditional love. And it's the love that God has for us. Perfect love, this perfect unconditional love, was demonstrated for us by Jesus on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. We're to love others regardless of how they treat us. God's love for us, it's unconditional, it's genuine, and it's hot. It's intense, the love that He has for us, and it's evident on the cross. We need to be alert. to opportunities to love and serve other people. Folks, there are opportunities all around us. When you look around at our world, you look around at our neighbors and the things that are going on in our country, it is time for the church of God to wake up and start loving other people. You can love people and not, what's the word I'm looking for? I just drew a blank. You can love people and hate their sin. And that is the heart that God's people need to have. We don't condone. That's the word I was looking for. You can love somebody without condoning their sin. I talked to a girl in a checkout line recently. And boy, she was having a bad day. I could tell she was having a bad day. She was complaining, you know, talking to her boss. He had walked by, and she was talking to him about what days off she had and all this other stuff. She looked at me and said, what do you do? Can I come work for you? You talk about the Holy Spirit swinging a door open. And I looked at her, and I said, well, I'm a pastor. And she went, oh. I said, what's that supposed to mean? Well, when people find out that I have a child out of wedlock and that I'm dating a girl, and she was a girl, people automatically shut me out. Is that the way God's people are supposed to be? Let me tell you something. She needs Jesus more than most people do that have it right. Amen? And if we're not going to give Jesus to her, who will? I invited her to church. I hope I see her come through that door. And I told her, I was very upfront before I left. I said, I want you to know God loves you. I love you. I don't condone your lifestyle. I disagree wholeheartedly with your lifestyle. But you know what? I love you. She said, so I'd be welcome at church? I said, absolutely you'd be welcome at church. But she knew. That was Jesus. When the woman was caught in adultery, what did he do? He said, go and sin no more. He loved her without condoning what she did. And that needs to be our heart. For these hot button issues, when we encounter people in our society, don't write them off. Don't shut them out. Love them and speak the truth in love. That's who we need to be. We need to see and love the lost like Jesus does. The world needs to see, number one, that we love one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, now this is the kicker right here. Why do we need to love one another? And why does the world need to see it? Verse 35, by this I will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Think about that. The world needs to see it. And we need to love and see others, the lost around us, like Jesus does. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. They were beaten down by sin. They were beaten down by the sin that was plaguing their lives, and they were weary and scattered. They had no purpose. They had no focus in life. And Jesus was moved by that. They were lost without hope, like sheep having no shepherd. They had no one to love them. They had no one to take care of them.
That's why it's so important we love the lost. Our love for God and our love for others, it should move us to take action. Not just give lip service, but it should move us to action, to do something. Again, I go back to that Matthew West song I mentioned. When we pray to God, God, I wish you'd do something. God looks at us and says, I did. I made you. And I gave you my love and your heart to go and share with them, to go and share with other people. I made you to do something in my name, to love and serve others in Jesus' name. Our love for God and our love for others, it should motivate us to be obedient also to the Great Commission. As we love people, the greatest love that we can give them is by telling them about Jesus. Again, when we meet physical needs, that's important. We need to meet physical, emotional needs. We need to do that. But we're meeting temporal needs only. By meeting the spiritual needs that someone has, their eternal destiny, by telling them that God loves them and has a plan for their life and a purpose for them, we're meeting their physical needs. And it should motivate us, our love for God and our love for others, it should motivate us to be obedient to the Great Commission. Love is not just a matter of obedience, it's also a matter of urgency. In verse 23, he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Salvation, what Peter's saying here is salvation comes and it begins from an incorruptible seed. What does that mean? Well, all life on earth, we know, begins with a seed. Life born of this world eventually dies. It's going to die at some point. But life, heavenly life, begins with incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which lives, as he says here, and abides forever. Life born of the Spirit through the sharing of the Word of God as it goes forth will never die as it's received in faith. Verse 24, he goes on and says, because, and here he's quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. He says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Folks, as our time on earth is very short, we need to realize that. Jessica and I were talking yesterday, and I told her, I said, Monday I'm going to be 39. I know some of y'all are shaking your head. I've already got people laughing at me. But you know what? To me, I told Jessica, I said, where did our 20s and 30s go? People always told me the older you get, the faster it goes. I didn't know what that meant. But boy, is it right. Now look at my girls. 4 and 6 already. Our time here is short, folks. It is a vapor. And it's going to come and go like a vapor. Unless Jesus returns first, we're all going to face death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, we're all going to die unless Jesus comes back first. When we die, here is the harsh reality. If you know Jesus Christ, well, this isn't the harsh reality, this is the good side of it. If you know Jesus Christ, when you die, you will enter eternity in heaven. If you die and you do not know Jesus Christ, you will enter eternity in hell. Folks, that's the reality of it. And that should move us to urgency. To respond and love others with urgency, we must have a sense of urgency to love other people. Every believer shares the responsibility of sharing the gospel. Jesus called every single one of us to open our mouth and share the gospel with other people. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth.
Go therefore. And that word therefore, I love this. I don't know if you ever caught this. When he says therefore, he's referring back to what he just said. He said, look, all authority, all power, all dominion belongs to me. Go in my power. Go therefore, because all power and authority belongs to me. You can go in my authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Folks, that is a commission where He is sending us out and He goes with us, a co-mission. He goes with us and we go in His authority and in His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who need to hear it. We all know people that need to hear it. The question is, do we really love them? If we really love people, we'll open our mouth. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. If we love people, then our love that we have for those people will cast out the fear of opening our mouth. We just have to ask ourselves if we really love them. Let me give you something that's might be hard to swallow, but it's true. If we're not intentionally sharing the gospel with other people, then we are living in disobedience and sin, because we've been commanded to do that. And we're not loving other people. When we love with urgency, when believers live and love with urgency, we'll pray regularly for the lost. We need to do that. We need to pray for the lost around us, but we need to take action as well, as we've been commanded to obediently share the gospel as the Spirit provides opportunities. And we need to practice what we preach. I've often said, if you're going to drive 80 miles an hour down the road, don't put a fish on the back of your car. Don't put a cross on the back of your car. Practice what you preach. A negative testimony does more harm to the gospel than any atheist could ever dream. Practice what we preach. Live with urgency, finally. Love is also a matter of eternity. And I've kind of alluded to that, but look, verse 25. He says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. God's word, he tells us, lasts forever. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. This word preached, he uses in verse 25. This is the word by which the gospel was preached. That word preached is euangelizo. Sounds like evangelize, don't it? That's where we get our word, evangelize, evangelism. Euangelizo. It means to proclaim good news. He says, this is the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the imperishable seed that produces everlasting life and forgiveness. And this is the message that was, the good news that was proclaimed to you. We have the hope of Christ in us. We have the message of Christ in us. And we need to open up and share it. We need to make wise investments with our time and with our resources. We need to invest in eternal things, not temporal things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart will follow what matters to you. The word treasure refers to collected wealth, things of value. And the world has a lot of things that it throws our way. The world offers a lot of things to enjoy for a little time. Isn't that ironic? Satan knows what he's doing. He knows what to dangle in front of us.
He wants to distract us from having an eternal worldview. He wants us to focus on the here and now rather than seeing everything through the lens of eternity. But when we stand before God, the only thing that's going to matter are the eternal investments that we've made. They're the only things that are going to last. And there's two things that the Bible says will last forever. Number one, me and you. The soul will last forever. Now, it's uncertain. Well, I shouldn't say it's uncertain. Where that soul resides depends on whether you know Jesus Christ or not. But it's going to last forever. Number two, the other thing that's going to last forever is the Word of God. The Word of God is going to last forever. That means, you know, if I were a deeply entrenched investing man, I would say, boy, that's a good investment. That is something I need to invest myself in. I need to study and know God's Word. I need to live obediently to God's Word. I need to faithfully share the gospel with those around me, and I need to help my brothers and sisters in Christ grow spiritually. I'd say those are pretty good investments. But all those things involve love. When you just love somebody, these things come natural. As I close this morning, I'm going to share Ecclesiastes chapter 12. King Solomon was coming down near the end of his life. He's talking to his son Rehoboam. He's saying, look, I want you to get it. I don't want you to make the mistakes I've made. I want you to understand what life is all about. He says, and further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. When your life is over, all that's going to matter is, number one, did you know and honor God? Did you know Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord and Savior? And number two, did you keep His commandments? Jesus says in another passage, the one that loves me is the one that keeps my commandments. Do we really love Jesus? Or do we just say it? I'll share a story with you. While on a three-story scaffold at a construction site one day, a building engineer tripped and fell toward the ground in what appeared to be a fatal plummet. Right below the scaffold, a laborer looked up just as the man fell, realized he was standing exactly where the engineer would land. He braced himself and absorbed the full impact of the other man's fall. The impact slightly injured the engineer, but it severely hurt the laborer. The brutal collision fractured almost every bone in his body, and after he recovered from these injuries, he was severely disabled. Years later, a reporter asked the former construction laborer how the engineer had treated him since the accident. The handicapped man told the reporter, "He gave me half of all he owns, including a share of his business. He is constantly concerned about my needs and never lets me want for anything. Almost every day, he gives me some token of thanks and remembrance." Sometimes we forget that on Calvary, there was a substitute who caught the full impact of our sinful weight and rescued us as we hurtled toward an eternity in hell. God poured out His wrath on the perfect sacrifice. His sinless Son, who was pierced through for our transgressions, He was crushed
for our iniquities. The chastising of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we were healed. Folks, the greatest love ever known was demonstrated when Jesus gave his life so that we could live. The second greatest love is to share his love with others so they can live too. Do you love other people? Do you love Jesus? That's the invitation this morning. You know your heart, and he knows your heart. If you've never received Jesus Christ, I invite you to do that this morning. This isn't just a sermon, folks. God loves you. He's got a plan and purpose for your life, and it starts with receiving his free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You say, I believe your work on the cross was good enough. What you did on the cross is sufficient so that I can be forgiven, so that I can be saved of my sins. If you've never made that decision, I'd be glad to talk with you more about it. I invite you to come. Believers, do you love Jesus? And does your life reflect it? Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, my life doesn't reflect it. Will you do that this morning? Father, I pray during this time of invitation that we would be open and honest before you. Search our hearts, show us. Speak to us through your Spirit. Show us how we need to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.